There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for another couple live hours here on this Friday. Reminder, of course, easy to get in touch with the show. Multiple ways. I'll give you a few of them, which I learned way back in 7th grade. A few is three, but there are even more ways to get, but we'll give you three as we roll out. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, that works for the text line, 343-0106. And if you're running that very cool FM Talk 106.5 app where you can stream the station, get traffic maps, you can get weather updates, all our podcast posts there, the social media feeds are all on there as well. It's like a digital multi-tool, like a Leatherman or one of those Gerber tools or something like that, but it doesn't have a saw or magnifying glass, but it's still got a bunch of other stuff. If you download that, you have the feature there to leave us a talkback message on the front page. You press the microphone icon, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back right here. All right. A lot going on today in hour number two. We'll do it this way. We'll do it in reverse order. In hour number two, Webb Jackson from St. Jude's and the Joy Life Ball coming to join us. A lot to talk about with him and the parades coming up as we get, you know, we're a week out today from the start of the Moon Pie Minute. Moon Pie Minutes with Stephen McNair gets started a week from today. And of course, we will be kicking off Mardi Gras in a big way, and it kicks off on Dolphin Island the following day on the 13th. So that's coming up very soon. We'll talk about the Joy Life Ball coming up as well for St. Jude. Also, Caroline Dobson running in AL2. Get to know her, Harvard graduate, farm kid, and a candidate for the House of Representatives will join us at 1 o'clock. So that's all coming up on today's show. And at this hour, though, it's good to get this man in, and he and I talk off the radio as well. You might have seen the truck around Mobile and Baldwin County. You probably have, and you wonder, what are they doing? Wildlife Solutions, what are they? Michael Niemeyer joins me now. Hey, man. Something's not pressed right. I don't know what is that. There it is. There we go. I don't know what they did to my buttons in here. There we go. And Michael Niemeyer.
Yes.
There you are. So, first of all, before we get into all the stuff I want to talk about, y'all's company, Wildlife Solutions, what are you solving?
Well, any problem with a backbone. If it's a vertebrate wildlife issue, we're happy to take care of it. You know, from rats up to wild hogs, everything in between, birds, bats, raccoons, armadillos, you name it.
Okay. I've got to ask you this. You and I were talking about some football stuff earlier, but did you know this is where you were going for a career?
Well, that's a long story, but I tried everything I could. I pursued it hard and found a way into it. I mean, as a kid, I was a kid catching all the snakes and little lizards and skinks and alligators and whatnot in the neighborhood.
Right.
So, you know.
So it was already kind of something that you were into as a kid.
Yeah. Once I got into this, everybody that grew up with me was like, well of course, that's what you do. Makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean, because this idea of, you know, and I think a bunch of us, I mean, I had the old box with the stick and the pull the thing to catch, you know, under the bird feeder and all that kind of stuff growing up. But I never thought that it was, like, there's so many things like this that I did as a kid that I really probably would have loved as a career, but I didn't know it was a career choice. You know, yeah. I mean, I talk with people, I'm like, I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, sir. And you know, to a lot of people, when I speak to people, they what do you do all day? What exactly are y'all up to? And how do y'all have all those trucks on the road and all that? Well, you know, it's not catching critters all day long. Honestly, it's more so, you know, preventing these problems, sealing up homes for entry points, you know, getting them out of, you know, getting animals that we get bats out of the top of high rises in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, you know, on 150-foot boom lifts. So there's, you know, there's a lot into it. A lot of people just don't realize we're not just catching critters. We're solving the main problem.
But that's, yeah, and what you get to, I mean, part of it is, construction repair, right, mm-hmm. of places where they're getting. But, I mean, you're talking about a boom truck and all that. It's kind of adventurous. I mean, we all kind of, there's some of us that have that streak in us that love adventure, and you get to do it, even though you might, you know, say it's a critter control, but in doing that, you're on a boom, you know, 150 feet up. I mean.
Yeah, and to get into this, it's not so much the animals that scare a lot of people. It's the heights, and it's the tight, hot, dark places.
Yes.
Attics every day, and you know, we're in August, it's 150 degrees in that attic. We're in and out of them all day, just like your HVAC guys.
Yep.
So in crawl spaces, we crawl under nasty, swampy, soupy crawl spaces daily. That's part of it. That's where the wildlife problem starts. So we got to go there.
Okay. As you go on a list for us, Michael, we're ranking in season ranking for the critters get the most phone calls to y'all. What's number one? Who's the leader?
Rats.
Huh?
Rats. Yep. And that has changed drastically in the past. I've been doing this 15 years now. You know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I was getting some rat calls here and there. And roof rats, we weren't seeing near as many as we do now. But these days, I mean, you know, mostly they call in, oh, we got squirrels in their attic. You know, we got squirrels in our attic. We hear them at night.
Yeah.
And
that's not squirrels.
That's not your fluffy-tailed gray squirrel. That's going to be your roof rat almost every time. But
and you say roof rat, because, and you know, I've had this conversation, worked on a situation I had, but roof rat, you said, well, these aren't the normal rats, Sean, because I'm used to rats around the farm and field rats. You said these are Southeast Asian?
They're black rats. They're not native to this area.
And here we go again, something that's not supposed to be here.
Exactly. They've come, like fire ants, come over on boats, you know, shipments, and they get spread around that way. But they're an Asian species. They're from the rainforest of Southeast Asia primarily, and they live in trees in their natural environment, you know, primarily. So here we don't have native predators that are adapted to getting after them in the trees,
if
you know what I mean. So their population is just growing and growing in the area because it's, you know, here we got plenty of old, nice, you know, open up houses and live oak trees on top of live oak trees, acorns everywhere, and food source and harbrage. So it's a great environment for them.
Yeah, I mean, just think about, you know, these roof rats, Southeast Asian rats, where they're getting entry, you know, because you can look at a house like and saying, well, how the heck is a rat getting in here? Because the homeowner's looking around the ground level, and there's no gaps in doors. You know, you watch too many Tom and Jerry cartoons and see a hole cut in the wall or something like that, and you're like, where are they getting through? And these jokers are coming off trees onto roofs and getting in places we never see.
Exactly. And they will not be deterred easily. Once they've been in a house, you know, a lot of times they'll go in the crawl space as well. They'll go under. You know, we see it where people will seal that crawl space, I mean, perfectly, have it airtight. And then 3 months later, there's tunnels going under that footer and going into the crawl space. They've tunneled back in. And once they're in the crawl space, bets off. They're going up the walls, up the pipe boards.
They can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the last 15 years, this has been an increase.
Yes, sir.
So this is number one. Number one in season ranking. Number one is rats. Number two for calls y'all get.
Armadillos. We do a lot of armadillos.
This year's been a big, and I live out in the country, out in West Mobile County, but I mean, this has been, you know, and I deal with armadillos. This has been epic out there, and I know, lived in Spring Hill for a long time, and we dealt with armadillos constantly there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, armadillos are, we call them road pizzas, whether they're alive or not, but they're a big call source for us. Generally they tag the nicest yard in the neighborhood because those people are taking good care of their yards.
Yep.
And a lot of the first thing people generally try is to kill all the grubs and the subterranean insects, which would make sense when you think about it.
Take the food away.
We used to do that.
Yeah.
We stopped because after about a 3-4 months of doing it heavy, our customers were getting worse and worse damage. Come to think
Wait a second.
It.
So, I mean, because this is the idea that, you know, when the armadillos are nosing in and causing, putting those little reverse conical holes in the ground, they're looking for grubs.
Yeah. And my initial thought was they must smell the grubs.
Uh-huh.
And what we realized was, I guess they're digging for what they know is supposed to be there. So we see that a lot now. People will treat the yard for the grubs or, you know,
they
whatever.
Keep looking. So they're looking more because there's less grubs. But
the yards
looking.
Get dug up worse and worse.
So counterintuitive here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
It's okay. So armadillos there. And the interesting thing about armadillos, too, is people will say, well, man, I need to trap those armadillos. And people have called me. I'm like, it's not like putting cat food out for, you know, another critter we could talk about. But, I mean,
yep.
Hey, how do people get them?
You know, there's those wooden traps they do make, and they do work. It's just a matter of dealing with them. You know, you don't want to load an armadillo up in the back seat of the Volvo.
No.
They're a pretty smelly critter, not to mention, you know, germ-ridden.
Well, is the leprosy thing true?
We've actually done some, not work ourselves, we provided specimens to some people doing a study on that back in the summer. I'd like to follow up with them on that. I don't really know what the findings were on that, but we did provide some specimens. My understanding is that it's not as bad as you know, it's kind of like rabies. It gets a lot of press and it sounds scary, but my understanding is it's not as pervasive as
good. Well, it's good news. It's good news because, I mean, my short hair seems to like to tackle every armadillo he comes across, and then he wants to rub up on me. I'm like, get the leprosy off me. With that, okay, so armadillo's number two. That's surprising. So rats number one doesn't surprise. Armadillo's number two. So number three on your list.
Well, now we start getting into seasons.
Yeah. Okay.
So raccoons are a big one for us.
Trash pandas,
yeah. We get a good bit of them come their breeding season. And, you know, a lot of people seem to think animals come in during cold because it's cold outside. That raccoon will climb in your attic in July and drop a litter of, you know, 4, 5, 6 little kits, and they will wreak havoc. And that's a big push for us. It's like one day around April, we'll get a call for, hey, I think there's something large in my attic. And then it's like floodgates open. Here comes a bunch of raccoon calls.
So these are raccoons that could have been out in the woods or whatever in the neighborhood, but that time of year, they say, wow, that's a good safe place to have my litter of kits. And how are they gaining entry? I mean, the rats are less. How's a big old chubby raccoon gaining entry?
There's a lot of different options for raccoons, obviously. They like the rats. They'll go in on the roof. They'll go in from under, climb up the pipe voids. Sometimes, I mean, we have pictures and videos of where raccoons literally just on a roof and decide, I'm going in here. Tear the shingles off the house, scratch through the decking, just a big hole in the roof. They'll go through the attic fans. They'll go through the soffit returns. That's one of the most common things where your soffits meet the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They will rip that area open and hop right into your dorm.
Michael, they're ripping into the house. Not just there's a place where a limb had hit it or something like that. They're making their own entry.
Yes, sir. There's hardly anything more persistent than a raccoon who wants to nest in an attic.
Well, okay, well, if they do that, let's say they do that at a home, you get rid of the raccoons,
mm-hmm.
Let's say you catch them when they're on they're working, they're on their shift, they're out at trash cans, and you close that place where do they try to get back in?
Well, if they're, we see that a lot. You know, we will have people do it yourselfers have the right idea, catch that mama raccoon, haul her off somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, the babies are still in that attic. And start causing problems. But also, if you know, we've also had where people will seal up the house while the mama raccoon's out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when she comes back and she can't get in, she's not going to say, well, chucks, you know. She's going to really go to work on your shingles. She's going to really go to work on the ridge cap. I mean, tear it apart. We do see that every year. But, yeah, we've gotten it down to getting them out of attics without having to even touch them a lot of times. Well, the raccoons are untouched. They're unharmed. And the house gets sealed off, and we fix the damage from there. It just depends on the situation. But, yeah, raccoons, they're a big seasonal one for us.
Okay, so we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll get a couple more on your list as we're working out. Michael Niemeyer, Wildlife Solutions. Also got a lot of questions on the text line for you, so get ready as we talk about critters around town. And we haven't even gotten to the canine species yet that I know drive a lot of attention out there. So be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Michael Niemeyer, Wildlife Solutions. You see the truck, now you hear the dude as well. Working in Mobile, Baldwin County's Mississippi Gulf Coast. Where there's critters, y'all go. I mean, y'all travel. I mean, you go hours up the road.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we got it. One of our technicians is in Bay St. Louis or Pass Christian right now. I think the other ones are around Baldwin County. But all over. We've done work in Starkville, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, Montgomery, Greenville, you know, all around.
So right now, if you're just joining us too, we're kind of counting down the top five list here. And Michael, we were at raccoons. You said seasonal. What's number four?
Bats. A lot of bats.
The bat thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. I watch your social media stuff, and y'all are seeing bats a lot of times.
Yes, sir. Bats are a big big call source for us in the area.
Again, we're attics. I mean, that's what everybody
mainly. Right? Mm-hmm. It'd be 150 degrees in that attic, and there's bats just looking at you, happy as they can be.
And those are coming in through just. They're not making their own holes, are they? Or can they squeeze in like a rat?
Yeah, they're squeezing in. They're not going to make their own entries. They're not going to gnaw their way in. But if it's the size of a quarter, a hole, there you can have, 1,000 bats pile in that one hole. And we see that all the time.
Whoa. How many bats?
Thousands. I mean, we see some of these condos, these high rises around Orange Beach Gulf Shores. I mean, you'll go out at night and watch them fly, and you lose count a couple hundred in, and they're just getting started.
Wow, that many.
Yes, sir.
So there's bats. Number five is what? Round out our list here.
I started thinking on that. Squirrels, gray squirrels, and they're a seasonal thing, too. I mean, we see them year-round, gray squirrels getting into homes, but really heavy right when it starts to get cold, and then really heavy back in the spring.
Like the raccoons are really kind of spike in the spring, squirrels are fall and spring.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so I'm going to go through some of these questions, and I know folks are calling, and Leanna will get you set up there at 343-0106. Bill in West Mobile, what do you utilize to keep raccoons out or detour them?
In a structure? I mean,
it's a house. Yeah.
You're going to have to seal them out once you've removed them. And that can be tricky. I mean, especially if they have a litter in there, they're not going to just decide, I'm leaving those babies behind. I'd need some more context. I mean, there's a lot of different situations, and that's a lot of kind of what our job is. I mean, no two jobs are alike, so every job presents its own set of challenges.
Okay. Let's see here. It's okay. What do you use to keep squirrels out? Same thing. Somebody asking. Let's see. Buddy says, question for you. I've had squirrels chew a hole in my soffit. And now in my attic, how do I get them out?
Yeah, what we do in that situation is we seal all potential entry points, and then we funnel them out through a one-way door.
So like a reverse crab trap?
Exactly. because if you trap them in, they're turning that place into Swiss cheese to get out. And a lot of times we have that with the homeowner that had the right idea, knew the entry point, sealed it up, and there were squirrels inside. And then the next morning there's four holes in the soffit, and now they got four entry points as opposed to one. So that's.
Do they get determined if you get the squirrels out of there? Do they get determined to get back in if you fix it, a raccoon? They do.
Yes, they do. Even if you remove the nuisance squirrels, the ones that have imprinted on that house.
This is what I've been trying to goad you into, because you've talked about this before with me off air about raccoons too. That there's an imprinting.
And it's not just species specific. I mean, we've had houses where we sealed them up for raccoons and got raccoons out, and literally 3 months later, a squirrel goes and choose a hole in the siding.
Are they smelling something in there? Like, is there a scent left by the raccoon that the squirrel smells? Or why they pick that house?
I can only assume. Because we do have that situation where there's a house that just gets attacked from all fronts from different species.
So, I'll just ask this one from Tony quickly as we switch gears. He says, how do you keep in-laws out of the house? You got anything there?
No comment.
Yeah, there you go.
One thing, you mentioned the squirrels, one thing in rodents as well, we see all the time is all the wives' tales, the mothballs, peppermint oil and Irish spring soap.
That working?
We see it every day, so.
And if it was working,
we wouldn't be there.
You know,
it's like the little sound emitters. We see those every day.
Yeah, what about, that's always been the big one for like mice or something like that. Mm-hmm. You put one of those high-pitched things you plug in.
Yeah, we take pictures of them with them a lot. While we're on the job, and send them to each other. Hey, I got five in this attic, but we're still there. And I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research on them. I just see them a lot. But what I have heard that they can drive your dogs crazy.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, because it's the same frequency that dogs, dogs are at. So.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to make our dogs any crazier than they are as it is. And what about that too? In just thought about that with having like an outside dog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you keep notes, but something like an outside dog, do they have less frequency, or because there's dog food outside, they have more frequency with,
You would think, especially with cats as well, but we have, hundreds and hundreds of customers that have dogs and cats all over their houses, their pets. So
you could say, well, the idea is if you have all these, canines and felines outside, they're going to keep these things on the run, but.
Right. I mean, I go to rat jobs, every day I walk up on the front step and a cat greets me. So, I'm
lazy cat.
Yeah, exactly.
This, and I know we're going to switch gears here after the break, but this rat thing is really, I mean, it's a big deal because, I mean, people pictured it being something for just like midtown, downtown, mm-hmm. you know, old parts of the city, old homes. But new construction, I mean, this is mm-hmm. this is everywhere.
Yes, sir. We get, you know, we get very nice, big, you know, $1.5, $2 million houses still under construction. We'll have rats show up in them and chew a water pipe or chew something, you know, let their presence be known that way. It's not a matter of filth. A lot of yeah. people seem to think I have rats because of filth. It has nothing to do with that. You have harborage. They found your house. That's, you know, that's it's as simple as that.
And once they find you, back to that imprinting thing, now we're talking about some pretty big colonies, right, with rats?
Yeah, well, yes, sir.
How many rats could be in a single house?
Well, honestly, it's usually less than the homeowner would believe. With a lot of things,
yeah. But the homeowner
is hearing so much noise. And what's funny is a rat is a stealthy little critter when it's in the woods or when it's outside. When they get in that attic at 2 a.m. with some acorns,
yes,
it sounds like they're bowling,
right?
And so, it, you know, to a lot of people, it's like there must be 20 of them up there. Almost never do we get that many. It's usually 4, 5, 6.
All right, coming back with Michael Niemeyer from Wildlife Solutions. Got more questions from you. And then I'm going to get to the – if you go to any of the Nextdoor apps or social media, the critter seems to be taking over every urban, suburban, ex-urban area's coyote, or the civilized people call them coyotes. We'll do that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along. Good to talk to Michael Niemeyer. We're talking the top five list, but we didn't get to, in the top five list, the thing that seems to dominate. If I opened like a Nextdoor app or a social media post or something like that, it's coyotes, and it's coyotes or coyotes in urban or suburban settings. This is a thing that if I think back as a child, and you and I talked about this the other day, where I grew up, I'd see red foxes and gray foxes, never saw coyotes. When I was a kid that stayed outside. This had been in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. But in the last 15 or 20 years, had them in the neighborhood, heard them, you know, it's a thing. Is it like something that's just come on? You know,
yes, sir. We get more calls for coyotes year after year. It, you know, they compounds. We get more and more calls. And back to your foxes.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with foxes. I mean, foxes exist where coyotes allow them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, like what Michael's talking about. We're talking. This is an indicator. If you have a good number of foxes around, you don't have a bunch of coyotes around. You see so many places now. There's no foxes anymore because.
Right.
Coyotes eat them.
Yep. Coyotes out-compete them and eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, and I guess the hierarchy is, I mean, everybody knows the story about with wolf reintroduction into Yellowstone, how many coyotes got killed. Mm-hmm. And I guess coyotes just keep it sliding downhill, and they do the same thing to foxes.
Mm-hmm.
So coyotes move in, and I got to ask you, like, in for Mobile, y'all work all over, but in the city of Mobile,
mm-hmm.
How many calls y'all get in a year inside the city limits of Mobile?
I'd say we get, you know, we get a ton of calls. A lot of people just want to talk to us about them.
Okay.
A lot of that. And I understand that. They don't understand what we do. But we do get probably, I'd say this year, we've probably gotten, I don't know, 40, 50 calls.
40 or 50 inside city limits?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to me, that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're talking about the people that had seen them, had an issue, and then call y'all about them.
Mm-hmm.
Areas of town, are there areas that are more prone, less prone?
We tend to get more in the Spring Hill area. We've also seen them kind of out, you know, out in off airport on the, I guess you'd say the west side of airport.
Okay.
We've seen some calls out that way, but primarily Spring Hill. I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, it's prime time, you know, habitat.
But and that's where we get to. I mean, and we can get to some extreme stories of, you know, the New York City coyotes stories mm-hmm. that have been, but do they need a certain mix? Because you area like Spring Hill, you got bigger yards, woods, woodlots, golf courses. I mean, is that what?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's and not to mention you've got food source everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not so much dog food and cat food left out. Yeah, that is part of it. But, you know, people plant a lot of really nice plants in their yard, fruit producing hedges, things mm-hmm. like that. You don't consider coyotes omnivore. They're going to eat whatever they come across. And same with you know, foxes and raccoons. And, you know, their populations tend to be more dense and you know,
where there's people.
Where there's people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like we're taking away their habitat. They're coming to us.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing because people say, well, we, you know, came in and put our, you know, we took their habitat. Well, to be frank, I don't know what the year start, but, I mean, coyotes weren't a thing east of the Mississippi until, what, within the last 70 years, maybe?
Yeah, first coyote was documented in Alabama in 1959.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not like they were here. Of course, I mean, we can get into, you and I can nerd out and talk about red wolves and that sort of, but they weren't here, but they move into where the same thing with raccoons, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of groceries in there. But you think about raccoons, they're, you know, they're in your attic. They're here. They're there. We're talking about the, where are they finding denning sites for these coyotes?
You know, they love like a pile of trees. I mean, that's one thing. If you got, you know, land clearing areas and they leave a pile of trees somewhere, that's a really common place for them to den. You know, they don't. And another misconception is coyotes don't live in dens year-round, just the mother with pups. So, you know, that's just during pupping season when they'll be in these dens, really. They're like deer. They sleep on the ground primarily.
And so they just need – it doesn't have to be
a little
10 acres. It doesn't have to be 100 acres. They can find a little corner there to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little cover, a little drainage ditch, whatever. That's all they need.
What is, let's just say in Mobile, and then we can talk about the Eastern Shore, the most urban area you've ever had a call on, like the most concrete jungle area you've ever had a call for a coyote on?
Yeah, well, no, we fished one out of a pipe down around the ship docks down on the Alabama River or Mobile River a few years ago. Me and Charlie Epler, right hand man, we fished one out of a pipe that was living in an old concrete pipe right there off of Bay Bridge Road.
It's pretty industrial urban center.
Yes, sir.
And at that point, wouldn't be out of be crazy that coyote could have been running Royal Street if from where they were.
Yeah, well, it was on the other side of the river. But that'd be wild. Yeah, could have taken the bridge.
Well, because you talk about, you know, Spring Hill and western parts of Mobile, but you know, I get people. And just watch these social media play. And a lot of times people think they heard or saw a coyote and didn't. But, I mean, there's areas that are east of 65 that are people are saying, and they got pictures. I'm like, yeah, that's a coyote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't they be? I mean, it's plenty to eat. And, you know, also if you look at the Spring Hill area, you look back towards Dolly Parton Bridge, that direction, it's a lot of land. So,
yeah, you mentioned the drainages. And I got to think about that as travel corridors, like a Three-Mile Creek or Botlabar Creek or any of these. That's got to be...
Yeah, why wouldn't they? It's perfect. It's a highway for them. They run any, you know, just like a power line. Why wouldn't they? Those power lines go miles and miles and miles.
Where do you think we're at density wise? And I mean, nerd out when we're not on the air here. But you know, any kind of predator has a density, right? Mm-hmm. Where they self regulate, and there's really amazing stuff you'll know, research about coyotes that if they don't hear other coyotes, they drop more pups. Yeah, more litter. And if they do hear, they reduce, which is like, it's a crazy thing to me how a female coyote can hear other coyotes and regulate how fertile she is versus, but
right.
Is there, I mean, is it still increasing, are you thinking, in urban areas, or is it kind of maxed out? Everybody's got their territory, or?
It's hard to say, you know, and we've done jobs where we've removed some, and let me get to that. You know, we're not trying to remove all the coyotes. When we get a call, the questions we're going to ask is, why is this coyote or these coyotes, why are they bad actors? You know, right. A lot of times they're trying to eat my Jack Russell, or they have eaten my Jack Russell, and I got three more. You know, that once that coyote has learned that behavior, he's coming for the dinner bell every time. So just wanted to clarify that, you know. And another thing is, you know, when you see a coyote, a lot of people, you know, we must have 50. I saw, you know, I've seen one or two every night, you know.
It's the same one or two.
Same one or two. Yeah,
right.
A lot of times they're on their normal route.
Do you see them get socialized, might not be the right word, but get less fearful of humans in certain areas?
Not really.
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm sure it happens in areas, but I haven't seen it around here or in Baldwin County or in Mississippi for that matter. Generally, you know, they're a smart, smart critter. They're doing everything they can to keep away from us. They just don't mind being in our yards and around our properties when we're not right there.
It's a, you know, because the question comes up that it's, well, you know what, you've got, what about my kids? What about my kids in the yard? You know, those kind of things. And I'm like, well, this is a 35-pound dog, basically. But What do you, I mean, do you, I'm sure you hear that from
people. Yeah, and stats, you know, there's hardly anybody that's ever been attacked by coyotes. Yes, it's happened. I mean, of course.
But it is like the most minuscule.
Right. It's very, very minuscule. They do everything they can to keep away from us personally.
The, let's see, Steve says, also in the heart of Mobile, we're full of hogs, deer, and bears. Use the corridors to migrate from Baldwin County. I have them on camera. East of 65. Now, people are, west of 65. Now, if you watch my social media, I got bears, you know, but I hadn't heard any in town. One was hit on Cottage Hill. That's right, a couple years ago, boar bear.
We had one in Lake Forest a couple of years ago running around, a big one over in Daphne. They're moving on in, and good for them. We're big bear advocates.
I am too. Big fan. Look at the back of my truck. You see the sticker? Rob says coyotes all around the tennis center facilities at Mirror Lake. Pretty much, if you've got woods, any kind. Well, you didn't say it doesn't even have to be that much woods. It
doesn't have to be. As long as they got a little cover, they can feel safe when they sleep. You know, I talked about over the off air.
Yeah.
You know, the New York City. I mean, how did they get there? That's a nutty thing. But they're in Central Park.
Yeah, I mean, if y'all have never read this story, I mean this is not like somebody thought they saw some coyotes in Central Park.
No, it's verified. There's a thriving population.
That's as urban as. So the initial population had to come. I mean, how did they get in there?
Yeah. Did somebody let one go or two go? Or did they just walk the mean streets of New York to get there?
Yeah. Somebody back to the hog thing, they said hogs in town. You know, I didn't think that was a thing until I saw some. I guess social media is an amazing thing, and people are showing rooting in their backyard, and I'm like, that looks like hog rooting. They're like, we live in a neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, there's no denying when a hog shows up
in a
yard, it can be absolute devastation.
Are you seeing some like in neighborhoods?
We've seen it in Theodore. We've seen it some around Dog River and Fowl River. We've seen it really heavy over around Magnolia Springs, Weeks Bay area. There's a pretty stout hog population over that way. Fort Morgan Road, there's a bunch of them down there. So, you know, there's a lot of woods in those areas, so there's plenty of cover. But, yeah, feral hogs, they're here to stay. And we stay busy with them in places where we can keep a number, you know, down. Especially we service some islands.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually tasked with removing them from some islands.
At least there you have a chance of
making a difference. We get them gone. We get them gone, and they'll be gone for 4, 5, 6 months, and then they swim back over from somewhere.
Oh, the hog thing, too, and we talk about this on the outdoor show a whole bunch, this idea of people say, well, I'm going to shoot them, and the night scopes and all that stuff, and fun, but that doesn't ever seem to make a difference.
Yeah, it's fun, but you really got to hammer them. I mean, you've really got to hammer them with trapping.
Seems like trapping is the only way to do it.
And we do that. We have 14 traps currently in operation, and they, you know, it's very, very extensive and expensive when it comes to trapping hogs and doing it professionally and full time. And you can get them down, but you got to keep them down.
Do you ever worry that, like, you do a job like that, well, it might be good for business, but knowing that there's somebody else out there that's got some under a tarp in the back of a truck, they're hauling them to a new place to turn them out?
Well, yeah, people do that, unfortunately, but that's
against the law.
Ecological, you know, a crime against nature, pretty much.
How big do the coyotes you'll catch get?
They're not as big as people think, generally. I mean, you know, 25, 30 pounds, generally. But you see all that fluff. I mean, they look like a German shepherd. But when you really get down to it, the best way to describe it is if you see one with mange, you know, they look like a rat with tall legs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fur on them.
Yeah, well, you get one that has mange, then everybody says, well, I got a picture of a chupacabra. Mm-hmm. That's most of the chupacabra pictures. People are talking about, will we hear them howling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, when an airplane flies low or a helicopter or sirens go off, you know, we hear them out of my back door. I just shared a video with you. I live in Fairhope. And you can hear them. They let loose all the time. My kids are used to hearing them. And, anything generally a loud sound, like much like a turkey hunter would know, if you hit an owl hoot, something will set them off generally at dusk. They'll hear a low-flying airplane or a siren. They'll let loose.
But they can, you know, dealing with them in the country like I do, they pretty much in the evenings, if you get still, something's going to set them off. But in town, we had some pretty close to us, you know, the area I was dealing with. But I guess I don't know if they had learned or they didn't make a lot of noise. It would be something like a siren. It'd be something like a kid screaming at a certain pitch, playing in a front. Something would set them off, but it wouldn't. They didn't howl at sunset the way, you know, I hear them in the country.
Right. And I don't know the rhyme or reason of that. Where I hear them in my house in Fairhope, we hear them, you know, it seems like it'll happen a lot 1 month and then not we won't hear them for a month. And then next month, again, I don't
But you think they were there the whole time?
Oh, yes, sir. They're definitely there.
Dan says, a few years ago, we were having rugby practice at the new intramural fields at South. About 8 p.m., we heard a few dogs bark, and then an entire pack of coyotes do their thing. They sounded like they were up in the abandoned Hillsdale neighborhoods, and the university that the university bought as part of their new athletic complex was super trippy hearing that coming from where I knew neighbors were. So, you know.
Yeah. They're all around there. It's a good habitat around South over there.
Yeah. And, I mean, you think about it, yeah, they've got a bunch of woods if you go to the north side.
Yes,
south
sir.
There where all that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if people were anywhere in the listening area, it's not it's not some crazy thing that they have a coyote somewhere near them.
No, not at all. You mentioned a bridge earlier. One wild story came to mind for us is Ono Island down in Orange Beach. You know, I've been servicing Ono Island 15 years. You know, there's red foxes everywhere down there.
That's right.
14, 13, 12 years ago. Those guards started seeing coyotes run across that skinny little bridge right
there. Did the coyotes not check in whose house they were going to and make them call ahead?
They weren't. They were in violation.
And that's how they got on from the bridge? They came across the old river on the bridge.
They would see them nightly. They said they'd see them back and forth on that skinny little bridge, going to the beach, gathering, you know, dead fish or whatever they could to eat. But now they're established on the island.
I bet you there's no red foxes left.
We hadn't seen them in a while.
Or gray foxes, even. So, right. Yeah, I mean, islands are, you know, that's a weird thing. I mean, you're not talking about Dolphin Island, the number of red foxes on Dolphin Island, but that's a sign of not having coyotes.
Right. And I mean, if they're not there now, they will be soon, the coyotes. And that's
do you think they may? I mean, if they did the Ono Bridge, they may come to the Dolphin Island Bridge and come the whole way down.
Hike, but hey, how'd the foxes get there?
Yeah, true. Steve's asking, are black coyotes normal? Oh, one black one normal. Mm-hmm. The number of black coyotes?
I don't know. I've been told, you know, one in 16 or one in 32. I don't know the exact number, and that may not be correct. But, yeah, black coyotes, we see them. I mean, I saw one recently in Lillian, across the road. So, black coyotes are definitely around here. It's just a color morph.
Okay. Coming right back, more with Michael Niemeyer. Oh, I got people wanting to know about alligators, too. You got an alligator story for us?
No, not really.
Yeah, not really. coming right back. More Midday Mobile next.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Michael Niemeyer from Wildlife Solutions in here. Let me read a ton of text for you, lots of questions. I'll get to Matt's here. He said, big salute to you guys. Michael, during our 25 years in our Fairhope home, I have removed, listen to this stat. Listen, he might be going pro with this. I've removed several hundred bat infestation from the attic. They found an opening in the house and were coming through the HVAC registers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this doesn't faze Michael. I heard that when I read it, Matt, and I went, oh, man, that'd get attention. I also pulled a 12-foot-long honeybee colony out of the soffit. We got 4 gallons of honey out of that job. Nice. Mm-hmm. Wild hogs in the yard, tons of armadillo, possum, raccoons, coyotes, feral cats, etc. So this Matt's been pretty successful, but then says, now I can't keep the little gray mice from getting in and around our kitchen. Any ideas?
Right. Yep. They can be the trickiest. I mean,
he gets everything else, but the mice are giving him fits.
Right. And that again, it can be the trickiest because they can find places. They can access places on a home we can't even fathom. You know, we can't crawl.
Because all these other critters you're talking about, you walk up and look at the house and go, oh, that's where they're getting in. But with mice?
Yeah. And any wildlife job we do on the house, we're going to put a guarantee, a warranty on that, except the rat or mouse job if we seal it up. Because literally, you'll have a rat go, you know, a wood-sided house, just crawl up the siding halfway and chew a hole. They're in. You know, we can't coat the whole home in metal. So that's one of those things that, you know, they're persistent, A, and B, they're small enough to be able to go where they please.
Anything you're telling people, though, just to deal with mice, I mean, something that you and I have talked about is, like, sometimes if you're putting mouse traps out, to stop putting them out for a second or mm-hmm. put them out.
We call it pre-baiting.
Pre-baiting,
that's
yes.
a huge thing. People don't realize if you... Yeah, you take the traps, you bait them, you put them out, you don't set them. If you just set traps, you'll catch one or two dummies, and then the rest will learn to avoid them. It's just like hogs. You know, you get them acclimated to the traps, and your success rate goes up. Of course, that's an unsustainable long-term deal. You know, you're there no matter what. If you, even if you're pre-baiting and setting traps, you're eventually going to educate all of them. They will get educated.
You get a heck of a business model. I'm starting to think, I'm looking through, I mean, there's like 70 texts here from people that have these, like, y'all come, you solve the problem, but there's just, you picture all these things that want to get in homes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every, and their job is to do that every day.
Right, and they don't have, yeah, a lot of people are like, why did they target our home? Why did they get in here? Why don't they just stay in the woods? Well, they got nothing better to do. You got to go to work and take care of your babies and go to the store. The raccoons, they looking at the house all day thinking, I'm going to get in there.
This is getting a lot of text here about, I guess, South Baldwin County coyotes. Doesn't have medicine. Biggest coyote I've ever seen in person was on Canal Road back in the early 90s near Bear Point, and he was a hoss.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets me. The walking across the bridge to Ono story.
Mm-hmm. That's nutty, yeah.
But try to get on Ono if somebody's not expecting you. If you're a human, it's not happening. Tell the guards, man, you're letting coyotes come on.
Well, just as a human, try walking across that bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a, yeah. So it's a very narrow bridge, and yeah, that's a nutty story.
It's they just say, oh, there they are. They're coming on.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. Oh, gosh, so many hog questions. What do you do to keep hogs out of yards?
You build, a concrete wall around it. That's about it. That or trap them and stay trapping them.
And getting pictures here from people. Yeah, and these are people. I know these people are in town that try. Like, what are the laws on that if somebody is doing it themselves to trap coyotes in town?
Well, if you were to trap them, you know, you can't move them alive. So you can't haul them off and let them go at your boss's house or something. That's not legal. If it's on your private property and you don't have, cats and dogs walking through there, yeah. But catching a coyote isn't putting a cage out and throwing some peanut butter in it. It's
right.
It's pretty in depth. We have to boil, wax, and dye our traps to keep them scent free. I mean, and we do it, monthly sometimes when we're in the peak of season or getting a lot of calls. So it's not like, chances are if you're going to try your hand at catching coyotes in your yard, you're going to educate them, and it's going to make it harder for somebody else to do it if you want them gone that bad.
Right. Don't let them learn.
Right.
I'm getting exactly. Caught the first time. All right. Here's my question before we wind this up for the hour. Strangest thing you've ever caught at a house. What's the most exotic, strangest thing?
Well, we talked about it a couple years ago. I got caught by a rabid fox myself back in 2018. I got chewed up by a little rabid fox and pretty much downtown Fairhope, but we've seen some weird stuff, dead animal removals.
Any pythons?
No, I hadn't had that.
No pythons, anacondas?
No pythons yet. None of that. I had an
orange. Because those stories make the news all the time. Yeah,
so. I once had an Argentinian black and white tegu, which is a lizard, big lizard, in a raccoon trap I had set under a house. We don't know where it came from. Clearly somebody's pet that was released, but it was not what I was expecting when I crawled in that crawl space.
Oh my gosh.
I've been doing this 15 years. I've seen some nutty stuff for sure.
So you think about that. First of all, you're crawling under the house, which would just make anybody uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting to see trash panda.
Mm-hmm. Nope. But there's a big lizard sticking its tongue out at me.
Wow. All right. People want to get in touch with you, or your social media is a fun follow.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
Instagram at Wildlife Solutions, Inc., or Facebook, Wildlife Solutions, Inc. So pretty easy to find, and we try to keep it updated pretty regular. We can't
it's
put
cool
everything
stuff, y'all.
On there.
It's cool stuff. Yeah.
Some of it's so nasty the public wouldn't want to see it, the damage and the mess left behind. But, yeah, we're easy to find.
All right, yeah, and do follow social media. It's great. During the week, I'm like, look at Michael. Look what he's got there. So it's good stuff. Well, good to see you, brother.
Yeah,
and so the next peak everybody should expect is the trash panda peak in April.
Coming in the summer. Mm-hmm. Rats year-round, but trash panda, they'll start getting in the attics around April, May.
All right, so y'all get ready for that. Sounds fun.
Good times.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Caroline Dobson, she's running for AL2, which is now a whole bunch of us now are in AL2, if you haven't checked your voting district map. So we'll talk with her. And also check in with Webb Jackson from St. Jude. And a lot coming up in the next hour, Midday Mobile, 343-0106. We'll be right back.